Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
I have a prayer today that we will see Jesus only. That our focus, somehow he's going to reveal. I'm asking him to reveal to the eyes of our spirit. You know, Isaiah saw the Lord and he was high and lifted up. And I think we need to see what Isaiah saw. And if not openly, then we need to see it with the eyes of our spirit, where we see Jesus only. Because I believe once we see him in his majesty, you know, we've seen him by the Holy Spirit, we've seen him by his hand moving, we've seen him in his kindness. But I think once we see him in that way, we'll never be able to unsee it. And it will impact us, not just for today, but for the rest of our lives. That's what I'm asking him for. I'm asking him to reveal himself to each of us in his majesty, in his glory, and in his light. And his light may be too bright for us to look at, but it will bring us to our face, won't it? A picture of someone's soul, and it's like your soul had a break in it. Now, I'm not sure exactly how that differs from a broken heart, but it has caused you to lose your way. A break in the soul can be devastating. I'm hearing the word betrayal, and this person that I'm talking to, you have been betrayed by someone you trusted. I heard the Lord saying, I know that what happened to you hurt terribly, but I need you to know, he's saying, I need you to know, I will never betray you. You may feel like I have, but I was not in that. I did not ordain that. I did not will that. And I need you to know that I am with you. No matter who else forsakes you, I will never, 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 never forsake you, because you're mine. I have always loved you. You've judged my love for you based on your circumstances.
Let the waters of God, healing powers of the Lord, wash through you. Let the waters of God, healing power of the Lord, wash through the broken places.
He says, I do not expect you to go on living in that kind of pain. I want to rush the rivers of healing water through your soul and heal the broken places, all of them. I am able, but you have to let me. I won't override your will. You have to give me permission. And I say this gently, but you've been mad at me. You've been frustrated with me because you thought I should override what man does. But one thing you should know about me is that I don't override what man does. I gave him sovereignty over what he does and says, because I love him. So some of the things that have happened to you were not my doing. And you've been mad at me, but I've never stopped loving you.
So trust me. For the first time, trust in my ways, that they are righteous. I want you to trust me. For the first time, I'm not like man.
I'm not like man.
Give me your heart. Give me your life unreservedly, without reservation. Give me your soul and I'll make it whole. I'll cause you to breathe again. You'll be able to breathe again.
You felt like you were suffocating from the pain, this person I'm talking to. You found it hard to breathe because the pain was so great. I've heard you say it in the spirit.
You'll breathe again. You'll breathe so freely again. I'm giving you life from the dead.
I'm giving you life from the dead. Resurrection power is yours.
Be able to breathe again. And hope again. You'll love again.
And most important, you'll be able to receive love again. You'll be able to breathe again. Hope again. Love again. And most importantly, you'll be able to receive love again.
So receive my love. Receive my grace.
My grace.
Receive my hope for you.
You see, you had a dream, honey, and it was broken. But the Lord says, I have a dream for you. Can you trust me enough to let me bring to pass in your life my dream for you? It's much better than your dream ever was. Because I know you. I created you. I made you. Do you know that I carved out your fingerprint? I carved out your very fingerprint. Yes, I did. And whether you know it or not, it's majestic in my sight. It's lovely in my sight. And it goes with a dream that I have for you, a blueprint that I've created in heaven just for you. It has your name on it. But you've spent your life looking to your dream and your blueprint. And I'm going to ask you, can you trust me enough to take all that and throw it out? Can you put it on the altar and let that burn and let me give you instead a resurrection of a true dream? The dream of how I see you. No one has valued you the way I value you. No one has respected you the way I respect you. See, I hold out my hand offering grace. Grace is my ability for you to be changed into a new sort of person, the one I designed. In the spirit, it's like you've been sort of mangled, crippled by all the things that happened to you, things that were said to you, but I want you to know that's not the real you. The real you is glorious. The real you is made in the image of me. So throw out the old ways and the old hopes and the old ways you thought about how life should be. It's not true. I have a much better plan for you, much bigger and much better and much more glorious, much more loving and much more fun and enjoyable. Yes, I can have fun. I created it. You've thought of me as, just talking to one person, okay? I know some of you know this. It's one person. You have never thought of God as fun or enjoyable. God is a blast. He invented fun. He invented enjoyment and real joy, not the pretend fake stuff the world tries to give. Come away with me. Come away with me. I'll show you the way. I'll turn you loose in heaven. I'll show you how to have fun. I'll show you goodness and mercy. Show you truth. I'll show you goodness and mercy and truth. I wanna make your life new again. I want to make you anew. Trust me, little one. Trust me, little one. I know what is best for you. And I always have. Come into my presence. I can release you from all these things. You've carried too much. You've carried too much for too long. You see, you are mine. You always have been, but you haven't always lived like it. You've been afraid to come in, afraid of me. You were taught a bunch of stuff about me that just was not true. And because of it, you feared me in a wrong way. But I want to teach you the real me. I want to show you how great is my kindness. Thank you. And now I saw a strange picture for someone in here. Not sure if it's the same person, but I saw like an old-fashioned phone line. Remember the old landlines? And this line went from your house to heaven. But over the years, something happened and the line was broken, like someone cut the line. And because of it, you haven't been able to communicate with God, and you haven't been able to have Him communicate back to you. And I saw a supernatural, almost like a fire, but it wasn't quite a fire. It was like a power of God sparking, and it hit that wire, and it reconnected. God is reconnecting your communication line with heaven. And for this one person that I'm talking to, you'll look back at this day, you'll actually remember this day, and you'll say, that was the day I was born again. That was the day I was made new. That was the day I quit trying to do it in my own strength, and I started to do it in His strength. And I learned how easy it is when you let God run things.
No way,
So the Lord delights in making new. And not just when you're born again. You know, when you're born again, you get a new you. He recreates. He doesn't just forgive. He doesn't just wash away. He recreates you as you would have been in the garden before the fall. In the image of Jesus. Absolutely perfect. Before the fall, Adam was perfect. Made in the image of the Father. With the Father's thoughts and ideas, His brilliance, the fullness of the Spirit, think about what He had. Think about it. He was given dominion and rulership over the whole earth. Adam was. Look it up. He was given wisdom from on high. He had it resident in His body. He had vision. He could see. There was no division between Him and God. They walked together in the garden in the cool of the day. They hung out. Face to face. They hung out. He knew God. He didn't just wonder about Him or think about Him or sort of hope He'd or know it by faith. He knew Him personally, face to face. They talked. They walked together. And when Jesus died, he purchased that back for us. It had been stolen by deception. Adam gave it up to the enemy and by legal right yielded that to the devil. Yielded our stuff to the devil. So we were born then under, as the seed of Adam, with all that mess, darkness, and the cut in the communication line, and not able to think with the fullness of our mind, not able to walk in the fullness of the Spirit. We weren't able. And even if God said something to us, we couldn't get it because we were broken. Great darkness came upon man. We didn't realize how great, because to us that was normal. But to heaven, it was an abomination. It was catastrophic. It said the foundations of earth are out of course. It threw everything off. When Jesus died, it was to purchase for you all of that back again. Not partial. We've walked in partial because we can only walk in how much revelation we have. You understand? But he died for us to have it all, walk in it all, see it all, know it all. Be able to walk with him in oneness. In the cool of the day, every day, hanging out with us all the time. It's a free gift. Jesus died for it. The fullness of thinking, God's mind. He said you have the mind of Christ. You can look up all these things I'm saying are scriptural. You can look them up. In fact, please do. Go home. Check me out. Check it out. It says all things are yours. If you're born again, all things are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God. How much is yours? All things. You say, well, I don't feel like I have all things. You've been given access through the Savior. But first you have to get the revelation of it. You have to believe it's true. Because all these things are wrought by faith. Faith in what he did. He purchased the very nature of God for you if you would be born again. So when you were born again, when you were made new, you weren't just forgiven. You weren't just left in your old state. In fact, it really couldn't be done. It was too much of a wreck. For God to just forgive that and keep you in that state would have been a mess. So he said, you know, I really can't do that. So what I'll do is I'll recreate a new you in spirit form that lives on the inside of your physical body. Now, you can walk in as much of that as you want or as little. But first, you got to understand it. You have to get a revelation of it. You have to believe it. You have to believe the word. And then you spend your life appropriating and receiving the fullness of all that it means. It's a journey. It's not a button you push. It's a journey of coming to understand more and more and more about what's really been given. What's really been given is almost beyond comprehension, but it's not, because we've been given the mind of Christ. So if we will listen to him, if we will look at his word, if we will consider what he actually said. What did he say? What is man that you are mindful of him? You've made him a little lower than Elohim. That's what it says. You've given him rulership over the works of your hands. What does he mean? Not other people, but the things of the earth. God wants us to begin to understand who he created us to be. And he's looking for somebody that has the guts to say, you know I don't deserve that. But Jesus didn't give it to us because we don't deserve anything. He gave it to us because he's worthy, and then he gave us his worthiness and said, now I've made you worthy, I've made you righteous, not your flesh, not your carnal mind, not your will and emotions, not that part of you, but the born again part of you, that is holy, that is righteous, that is worthy because I said so, because I gave you, you were made in my image in that part of you. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. That treasure is holy and pure. And if you can grasp this, even part of it, it'll change your life. Because if you can begin to go through that and access what is yours, all of heaven is yours. He gave you full access to the Holy of Holies. Nobody had access to that. The high priest once a year, and he better be careful how he did it. But from the day when he ascended to heaven and sprinkled his blood upon the mercy seat, there was an explosion in heaven. That allowed anyone who would come in to come fully in, to receive wholly and fully. We've sold the whole thing short, you know, through lack of revelation, frankly. In the church, there hasn't been a fullness of revelation as full as it needs to be, and I'm not saying that I have it yet either. I'm pressing in, though. Because the more we understand what was given, the more we can receive it in manifestation in our life. There is no reason for us to walk below the line. There's no reason for us to be beneath. He said, you're above only, not beneath. What did he mean? You should be living above only, not beneath. What did he mean? You're to be seated in heavenly places above only, not beneath. Don't live like earthlings. You don't have to live like they do. But see, because we haven't understood this, we grow up, most of us, in a house where, my house, that nobody knew Jesus, as far as I know. I mean, I think my sisters may have a little bit. And we didn't talk about God at all. You know, this was not done. So what did you do? You learned the manners of earth, the behaviors of earth, the customs of earth. Here's how you do it in the earth. All the world systems, we got very good at those. We knew how to work. We knew how to, you know, bring in an income, pay the bills, right? That's all earth system. And such as it is, we have to interact with that. We have interface with that. But if you're born again, that is not who you are. And if you're still operating according to those things, your life is, you know, it's not going to be all that great. Because earth doesn't have anything great to really offer you. You know, the earth system is work your butt off and, you know, watch all the motivational teachings and, you know, maybe get rich, you still won't be happy because nothing can fulfill you except him. You were designed that way. If you're trying to get your fulfillment elsewhere, forget it. Even if you attain the thing, it'll be like, I thought this would fulfill me. Oh, wait, it doesn't. You know why? Because we were designed to be fulfilled by one thing, and that's him. And until you get that, you bump around in life, bashing your head in, having bad relationships, and looking for love in all the wrong places. You know, looking for fulfillment from something that can't do it. And one fine day you wake up and go, I don't think this works. You know, I was one of those people. I had to practically get hit in the head to get a clue. My life had to fall apart. I would give God one area at a time, and I watched every area that I came in became an amazing success and victory. But there was one area, boy, I wasn't going to give that to him. And it clobbered me, I almost died. And I finally said, you know what? I have to give him every area if I want every area to glow with the glory of God. If I want every area to have victory, he has to own it all. I can't keep this little part for me and that little dream for me. No, no, no. Those are called idols. I have to take those idols and put them on the altar and light the torch. Torch them. Burn them. And you know what? If the thing was from God, he'll restore it better than it was in the first place. But if it wasn't from God, he has something better, far, 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 far better than that was. When God takes something away from you or he allows something to be destroyed in your life, don't get mad at him. Know this, he's got something better for you. Always. God's plan is always to do what's best for the kingdom and best for you, even though you may not get it yet. You may not understand it. You may not fully perceive, why is he doing that? Why did that happen? But just hide and watch. If you don't turn on him, if you don't turn your back on him, and if you keep staying in faith and just know he's good. You know, it says those who come to God must know that he is and know that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And you know what? I remember thinking, well, this doesn't look like a reward. This looks like I'm getting slapped upside the head. You know, gee, God, what's going on here? See, at that point, I was almost defining my own destruction. Because by my unbelief in his goodness, I was allowing all this junk to happen to me. I had all kinds of open doors and didn't know it. Blaming God, but it wasn't God's fault. It was my fault. I said it was my fault. You know, you can define your own destruction without even knowing you're doing it. And one day I got a clue. Said, I will never have an idol. I don't care what it takes. I will not have an idol anywhere in my life. I will not have one thing that comes before him or his will. And if I find that I have one, whether it's an attitude, no matter what it is, I'm going to go after it. I'm going to be like Josiah. Get me the baseball bat. Did you ever see an idol, you know, one of those dumb, ugly, mute, stupid things people worship? Doesn't just make you want to get a baseball bat. Man, I just want to smash those things. Josiah went from place to place, destroying them, tearing them down. You know why? Because he knew, he understood, they caused Israel to stumble, and they caused an open door to demon spirits. Well, you say in the New Testament we don't have idols. I hate to break it to you. But some of us, listen, inside of your spirit, if you're born again, you know that your body says you are the temple. Now let me ask you something. What does a temple look like? Well, think about it. There's an outer court. There's an inner court. There's a holy place. And there's a holy of holies. Imagine that in you is that setup. And this was designed for there to be a mercy seat where his presence abides. But if you put something else on the throne, you have placed an idol, an abomination in that holy place. Do you hear me? So if you love someone more than God, uh-oh. Or if you love self more than God, uh-oh. Then what happens? Automatically, the foundations are out of course. And you, whether you know it or not, you say, why are all these bad things? Why did God let all these things happen? I had to break it to you. God didn't let them happen. You let them happen. And I know because I kind of wrote the book on that mistake. And so the Lord, he wants you to know that his desire for you is the best and highest. But he will have no other gods before him. And so he has a way defined in his word that's actually real simple once you get it. Once you understand, you can actually walk in victory in every area of your life. That's his design. And the closer you walk to him, the easier it is. And the more you understand by revelation these matters that have been given to you. So Jesus said, I am the door. Now, he also, listen to this. When he died, remember that the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom. Those of you that have done your studies, you know that that veil, they say it was about 6 stories high. It was many inches thick, and it was so heavy, they said it would have taken two teams of horses couldn't have torn it. Two teams of horses couldn't have torn it. And yet it tore from top to bottom for all eternity, can never be put back together again. And it was a statement that Jesus Christ broke heaven open for everyone that would go through him the door. It even says in Hebrews that the veil that was torn is his flesh. He was, listen to this. The Bible says all the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelled in him, his mortal body. All the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelled in him. And he allowed that flesh to be torn, in fact ordained that it would be torn so that we could access heaven. And more than access, have heaven come and live in us. I'm telling you, the gospel is so big, I don't think it's been preached in its fullness. I don't even think I can quite get there. Yeah, I'm gonna. But we need to get a clue that it's so much bigger than we know. We've settled for garbage for so many years because it was all we knew. And God is beckoning us, asking us, come higher. Ask the questions. You know, pray your way into revelation power. Pray your way into the place of the holies where you can commune openly. Everybody can do it. Not everybody will, because it takes some doing. Every born-again believer has been invited to come and live with God in the holy place. Can you imagine? But you can't just saunter in. Well, you can once you know the way. But as you press into that in prayer, what is really happening, it's not that God gives it to you when you're worthy. Forget that. It's not like that. It's what you're doing is you're breaking down the barriers that your flesh has between the spirit and the soul. You're tearing down false belief systems that keep you out. Oh, I think God is mad at me. I don't think he wants to see me. Lie. Come on, we all have stuff that tries to keep us out of the Holy of Holies. And the more you press in, when you pray, listen, pray in the Spirit. You're tearing down the junk. It's like, I just had a picture of an old mine. You ever see an old mine that's been boarded up, right? And maybe there was an explosion, and so they said, oh, it's not safe, let's board it up. But let's say there's still gold in there. Come on, how do you get to it? Well, first you got to start tearing off the boards. Start tearing that out. Then you got to carefully go in and you got to work every day. You go every day, you go. And at first, you're not going to see gold. You're pulling out rocks. You maybe you're making a new path. You work at it. You work at it, right? You work at it. You keep praying. You keep praying. You keep reading. You keep reading. You keep asking for revelation. And little by little by little, you might find one little hole where you can, you know, caves smell different. You know, the air in there smells different. I used to do a spelunking when I was young and crazy. There's an air that comes. You get this, I think we broke through a little bit. What just happened? You had a little breakthrough. And it's not in heaven. You already own this legally. Legally, this is already yours if you're born again. But what's happening, you're pressing into a place where you can sense the atmosphere of heaven. I know that's probably not the best analogy, but it's, you know, it's one he gave me. But then what do? You start pulling stuff away, make the hole bigger. What are you doing? Removing the junk of the soul, the lies you've believed, the issues you've had, doubt that God would really do it for you because somehow you're different than everybody else. Come on. What he did for all. And you're not so special that you can't go in and we all can. You know, that's why I used to think that way. Oh, that's great for other people. You know, there's the haves and the have-nots. No, there's not. That's a lie from the pit. That's a rock that has to be thrown out. Condemnation, lie from the pit, rock that has to be thrown out. Here's a question. Do you love him? Is he first in your life? And if so, there is no thing that can keep you out if you want to go in. Just your own soul and that stuff. So what do? You keep mining. Now, heaven is already yours. And it's like he's standing there every day saying, come on, girl, come on, boy, come on in. Press in. Get that junk out of there. And what you're doing is making way. When you get that open, I'll tell you what, it's hard to shut. And you get to a place where you can just walk in anytime. You can just flip the switch and go in, bang. What's God saying? Oh, let me sit at your feet. Let me worship you. Let me be with you in a more real way. Instead of just having to do it by faith because I'm outside this mine with all the junk in the way and all the my soul all boarded up and my heart hurting and all these lies I believed. I'll just sit out and by faith, I'll just kind of trust that it's true. No. Prayer opens the way to the heavenlies. It doesn't earn it. You've already got it. You understand? Am I making any sense? God is pulling us and drawing us to a realm that already belongs to us, that if we could learn how to walk in it, we can change the world. Because the power is there, not here. People sit outside that mine all boarded up with all their garbage, you know, all their soulless junk, all their false belief systems. I used to do it. And they sit out there and they beg God, oh God, won't you anoint me to do stuff? Well, yeah, I'd love to. But the anointing is in here. And it's free. It's free to anyone that will come in. Anybody, I'm telling you, anybody, if they will learn the way, can come in and freely receive all that he has done. All. Without reservation. God has placed no limit. Anybody that gets there. I'm talking about a 5-year-old kid, a 95-year-old grandma. It doesn't matter. Somebody says, well, I'm not anointed. Well, hallelujah, I'm not either, but I am now. Because it's not me, it's him. I found the place. Anybody can find the place, anybody. So don't be so quick to discount yourself and beg God, oh God, won't you come and give me power to raise the dead? Well, why not just come where it is? Won't you give me power to speak by the power of the Spirit? Come where it is. There's a river flowing all the time, 24/7. It never stops, never. And if we will learn how to go there and just jump in and stop being so timid, stop saying I'm not worthy. That's your flesh isn't. The carnal part of you never was, never will be. It's righteous. Our righteousness is filthy rags. But we threw that away because we're to reckon the old man dead. So stop looking at your old man and all your issues. Everybody's got issues. And guess what? The more time you spend in that place, the easier it is to get healed of those issues, to get set free so your behavior doesn't stink so bad. So the journey is really dual. The journey is finding your way into that place where you really have full revelation of all that he did. You can walk freely through the door, which is Jesus. And I'm persuaded that he's not only that door is the door to the Holy of Holies, all the revelation of God, all the gifts, all the anointing, everything you'll ever need in life. But also, I believe, it's a symbol of the doorway back into Eden. Remember, he blocked the door to that life that Adam and Eve had, where they could commune with God openly. Remember that? He had to block it because he didn't want them to go in their condition. But you're not in that condition anymore. Now you have a new spirit, man, if you're born again. And you can't, your flesh can't go there, but guess what? Your born-again spirit can. You can go to that place where there's an open heaven. You know that when Moses went on the mountain, do you know there was a mist? Do you know that if you go deep enough in the presence, sometimes you'll actually get wet? Do you know that? We were at the office, we used to pray at the office, and I remember one night we, I don't know what everybody else did, but I was in a place, and it was so wonderful. And I was communing with God, and I realized I was wet. It wasn't raining, it was that mist of heaven. Now, I don't seek God for all the goosebumps and the encounters and the experiences. I seek God for Him. You know, don't be in love with the encounters. Be in love with Him and you'll have encounters. But even encounters can be an idol. You know, why doesn't that happen to me? Well, put Him first and it probably will. But you know what? If it doesn't matter. All these things are yours. All these things are yours. God desires to bring us, the entire church, if He had His way, the church would break off some of the old thinking and the old lies and the old wrong religion and the performance mentality of that we used to have. And He would take people from all across the church, every denomination, and bring them into a glorious liberty of walking in heaven while on the earth. That's what Jesus did. People couldn't see it because all they could see was His mortal body. But He was in constant communion, checking in with the Father. He said, the Son of Man can do nothing of Himself. He can only do what He sees His Father in heaven doing. How do you think the miracles happened? He would see, oh, okay, I'm supposed to do that. Dude, oh, okay, you want me to make mud, okay. You see, He was hearing from the Holy Spirit. And He was showing us how it's done. The walk of the Spirit. Those who are, what does the Bible say? Those who are led by the Spirit of God shall be called the sons of God. You know why? Because they're going to look a whole lot like Him. Because those who are led by the Spirit will do the same thing He did. They'll see something or hear something or have a sense or an unction. They just act on it. They just do it. Just do it. And when you do, you'll see the miraculous. You'll see something happen that you couldn't have made happen. You know, I've seen stuff happen that I couldn't possibly have made it happen, but I watched God do it through me. Because all He did was do exactly what He said. No matter how stupid it looked, I do it anyway. As I learned over time, if I just obey that, I get to see a miracle of one kind or another. Just do what He says to do. Jesus' mother at the wedding in Cana, she said this to the servants, whatever He says to you, do it. Whatever He tells you, do it. Now, they could have said, are you crazy? Fill all these giant jars full of water and, oh, wait, dip into that and take it to the master, I'll be fired. Come on, you know He had to be thinking, are you crazy? Yet He did it. He did it. He did it by faith. He did it. And what happened? An enormous miracle. Because a steward obeyed. Whatever He tells you to do, do it. Whatever He says, do it. Some of you say you don't hear from God, but I want to challenge you. There have been times when God told you to do something and you talked yourself out of it and said, well, I don't think that's God, or that's too scary, or what will they think? And that's okay, by the way. Don't condemn yourself, because that's how we learn. The way we learn often, whenever you blow it, just chalk it up to, okay, I know not to do that again. Because it's happened to everybody. It's happened to anybody who hears God's voice well has probably got about 10 or 12 of those under their belt where they just chickened out. I'm going to be honest. I'm sure I was very shy, painfully shy. And God was so gentle with me because He knew what a chicken I was. So He would give me little things at first. And He would let me grow. And I would say, oh, well, that was God. That person did have that problem. I didn't know. So he'll take you just a little bit deeper in the water, a little bit out of your comfort zone, just a little. Not, you know, he's so kind. If you ask Him to train you, He'll do it in a way that's at your pace. God is good. And he'll let you make some mistakes. We make them. You know, but in doing so, you go, wait a minute, that was God. I should have done that. That was God. And then over time, you grow in boldness because you start to see the miracles of God. And I don't just mean healings. I mean people's lives changed. We've seen people's lives turned around with one word from the Lord. People who were landed, they were headed for complete destruction. I remember one man completely absorbed in a drug life. He was a mess. He was a wretched wretch. He was wretched. He was doing all kinds of terrible things. There was just a lot going on that was bad. And one day God gave me a word for him. And I'm going to tell you, if ever a word made no sense, this made no sense. And the word was actually a scripture that I don't remember the reference because this was 25 years ago. The reference, it had to do with, I saw you on the garbage heap, but I saw that you were a prince. And I went over to the house, and I thought, if ever there was a guy that looked like he belonged in the garbage dump, it was this guy. His behavior, his attitude, he was doing stuff with family members, was just wretched. He stank, physically stank. He stank spiritually. But God saw him as royalty. And I went over there. I knew it was God. I knew God's voice well enough by this time to know this is God, because I surely would not have come up with this. And I went over there, and I could just see him kind of going, oh, man. You know, he hated when I come because, you know, right? He knows you represent God. He knows you're probably going to give him a word. He's probably thinking you're going to beat him on the head, which my flesh wanted to, by the way, because he'd done some pretty bad stuff. But this is what happened. I began to weep. I didn't just deliver the word. I delivered it with the emotions of the Holy Spirit. I wept. I looked like a blubbering fool. I began to tell him the word that God gave him. He had drugs on the table. He was smoking a cigarette. He put out the cigarette. He pushed it all away. He changed that day. His entire course of life changed and has been changed ever since. Was it anything I did right? No, but what happened was God knew that in the whole of his life, no one had ever given him any value or credit. He had no value in his own eyes. Why should I try? I've always been a failure. Everything I've tried has ever failed. They told me I'm a failure. Why would I try? That's how he thought. God thinks I'm garbage. The woman I'm living with thinks I'm garbage. My family thinks I'm garbage. Why should I change? What's the point? I can't change. That's what he thought. Now here comes God in a blubbering, foolish person who looks like a dope saying to him, God sees you as a prince. It was the first time anyone had ever said something like that to him. And he had the guts to believe. It's like somebody lowering a little fish hook and him going, I'll hook my finger on that. And God lifted him up out of that trash. He changed his whole life. One word. What would have happened if I'd have chickened out? See, earlier in life, I probably would have chickened out. What will they think? You know, what if I'm wrong? What if I look bad? Well, this probably isn't God. Because, you know, when God talks, it's not always very strong. Sometimes it's so faint. Some nudges are pretty strong. Some nudges are medium, and some are like so faint. You go, what? Was it? Did I hear something? It's so faint. But over time, you want to increase your sensitivity to where you can feel the faintest little, it's almost like a little arrest. Like, what was that, God? Sometimes if you see me praying for people, you'll see me muttering to myself. First of all, I'm praying in tongues. Second of all, when he says something to me, if it's pretty weird, and I don't want to hurt the person, I don't want to make a mistake, I'll say this, I plead the blood of Jesus, and he'll repeat it. I plead the blood of Jesus, and he'll repeat it. Sometimes I'll make him repeat it. If it's a really out there, I'll make him repeat it till I'm sure, you know, or I'm pretty darn sure. Because I don't hurt the person, but he's given me some outlandish things to say to people, but as long as I'm pretty sure it's him, I'll step out in it then. And then he'll confirm it back, and I'll go, that was God, that little strange thing, that was God. See, God, understand, it's not that God isn't talking, it's that we are so insensitive to the ways that he talks. You know, get rid of all the ideas of how you think he talks. he doesn't always talk the same way. He talks to me many different ways. And I'm still learning new ways that he's talking that I didn't know were him. Seriously. We learn every year, I learn more. God will release miracles to you sometimes without a word. Without a word. Sometimes they're ridiculous, you know. Now, here's a ridiculous one. Touch somebody's shoulder. You're in a prayer meeting, a whole bunch of people, and you touch somebody's shoulder, and you go, boop. And instantly, poof, there's this Holy Ghost move in them. See, God is funny. It's always a bit of a challenge. I remember I was in a pretty bad situation, and I'd gone to my friend's house. They were Holy Ghosters, wonderful friends. And we were praying together, and I saw the man, I saw a picture of him hitting me on the head. And I knew it was God. He said, but he, you know, of course, what man wants to hit a woman on the head? You know. And he says, I feel like I'm supposed to hit you on the head, but I don't want to. I said, hit me. And he gives me this little tap. I said, no. Hit me. So then he gets a pillow. I'm like, no, hit me. And he bopped me on the head, and it's like it broke something. Now, it took courage for him to even say that out loud. But because I had already seen it, I was able to go, yep, that's God. See, God works in mysterious way. Edgar, some guy came to a meeting with a tumor. Now, do not do this at home. Do not try this at home. And don't do it unless you absolutely know the Holy Ghost. But what would happen with Edgar is that the Holy Ghost would overtake him. And he had these big, giant hands. Edgar had big hands. And he took his hand and made a fist and punched this guy. And the guy was completely healed. Now, he said he wasn't punching the guy, he was punching the tumor. But he can only do that when it's the Holy Ghost. I seen him hit a guy in the heart and say, new heart. The guy got a new heart. I wasn't there, but he took a woman that had bone pain from head to toe, and he picked her up and shook her. And it was the Holy Ghost. And he got in trouble with her son because when he did it, a healing fire went through her bones and hurt worse than the illness. Her son is mad at him and chasing him around saying, you gotta do something. She's in pain. He said, she's healed. I'm telling you, she's healed. That's how he talked, but more booming. Very terrifying, actually. Very loud. Did not mince words. So he's praying for people. The son comes again. He says, listen, you got to do something. She's in pain. He said, I'll pray for her again, but I'm telling you, she's healed. And he goes back, and he prays for her again, even though he didn't need to. And he already knew. See, when, you know, he knew. He had a gift of faith. He had a gift of working in miracles. And there's some things that when they go through you, just like Jesus said, I felt virtue leave, you will feel virtue come and go through you, and you know it. Okay? I'm not saying it'll always be like that, okay? But with gift of faith, you don't just believe, you know. It's a different thing than faith in the word, okay? A gift of faith, suddenly you just, you know, and nobody can talk you out of it. You know it's done, that's it. I've had it occasionally, Edgar had it a lot. And when something happened, he knew it was done. He didn't care what it looked like, he didn't care about nothing, he knew it was done. So he prayed for her just to be polite to the son. He kept praying for people, it was a big mass of people. Pretty soon he hears a ruckus, this big noise, and he looks, and this lady is dancing around in these big circles because she's been completely healed. Because this fire went through her, the fire of the Holy Spirit, and sometimes that's hot, and it was burning her, and it was not fun, and she didn't know what it was. We've had people be healed even in our meetings, even our local meetings, where something went through them, and they didn't even know it was God. I remember one woman said, oh no, what now? And she was getting a new bladder. I mean, it happens. God does, we cannot predict how God will do what he wants to do. So instead of us trying to make him line up with the way we think he should do it, forget that. That's never going to happen. You know, he'll do it another way just to spite you. Because he doesn't like to be predicted. I never tell God how. Never tell him how to do stuff. I do tell him, if you promised me this, I will have it. I don't care how you do it. But you said it. It's mine. I'm taking it. Hallelujah. Very polite, but very resistant. I will have this. Because, and that's belief in his word. That's faith in his word. But a gift of faith comes on you, and it's a gift. Often you don't see it coming. It happens, and man, you know. you know it's done. And nobody can talk you out of it. And when that happens, there's a miracle. I mean, every time, because God gave it to you to impart to them that power. I don't know how we got there. See, God wants the church, everyone in the church, active in the gifts of the Spirit. There's a lie. Here's a lie you can remove out of your cave, your mining cave. It's only for some people. I don't think God would use me that way. God is looking for people, searching for people who will be bold to move in the gifts, or at least be bold enough to ask him to train you. At least be bold enough to say, I don't know how to do this. I don't know why you'd want to use me, but the word says you would. So teach me. Help me understand how to be used in the gifts, because here's the thing. Every gift was given. It is a sign that God was here. People don't glorify you. They glorify God. When you really move in a true gift, lives change, healing happens, all kinds of stuff goes on, and everybody knows it was Jesus. Everybody knows it was him, not you. People try and come and give you a compliment. You got to be kidding. I had nothing to do with that. That was Jesus alone. And to him be all the glory. All of us are supposed to be doing this. He wants us to. He's looking for you. So he doesn't like it. This, we think it's religious to, you know, do you know what self-deprecating means? It means to put yourself down or discount yourself because you're not worthy. That is a religious stench. God hates that because you're basically calling him a liar. Oh, okay, everybody else can do it, but not you. So what I said, not true for you. Oh, okay, well then is it true for you? You could have been born again? Oh, you could believe that. I'm just talking to you how God had to talk to me. It kind of slapped me around. Like, oh, you're the great exception. I could take a murderer off a death row. I could make him a great evangelist. He could heal the sick, cleanse lepers, and raise the dead, but not you, who lives for me 24/7. Not you. You're the great exception. That's how he talked to me. You're so special, though. Your sins are so great. I wasn't even doing anything. I wasn't even doing anything interesting. You know, seriously. But yet I could condemn myself and discount myself. It is not pleasing to God. God is looking for somebody who says, I get it. I did nothing to deserve this, but you did everything to deserve it. And you don't heal anybody based on my righteousness. I didn't have any. But your righteousness is 100% all the time. And it lives in me. It doesn't come and go. It's in me all the time. Whether you know it or not, when you wake up in the morning, you're filled with his righteousness. Even if you screwed up last night, your flesh screwed up, but your born-again spirit is holy. So you can freely be used of God every day of your life. Now, you still need to work out those other things with him, right? Because you don't want to open doors to the enemy. We need to walk in holiness. We need to represent him well. We need to seek holiness, and holiness that is an outworking of his presence through us that changes some of our behaviors and habits. We do need to deal with those. But listen, if we had to wait until we felt holy to preach, we could never call a weekly meeting. Could we? I had to preach in Elgin every Sunday for years, and I'm just going to tell you, there were days I felt like it, days I didn't. One day I went, I hate to use the expression, I was sick as a dog. I had a fever. I could hardly stand up without falling over, but I'm not giving into that junk because I see that as a lie from the pit. So I go, and I mean, I'm like clutching the keyboard, right? I'm trying to get through. In those days I was leading worship more. I get through the worship, and I'm thinking, how are you going to stand up? I don't think I can. I have no message. There's a blizzard outside, right? So we had a very small crowd because people could hardly get there. So do you think God wanted to do something that night? Of course he did. So I stand up, and I'm like, Lord, if you want to do this, you have to do it. Well, that's called grace. And it's there. It's on tap. Grace is on tap all the time. All you got to do is ask. Give me the grace. I don't have it. Give me the grace. I don't have it. Give me the grace. So the tap opens, I look up in the air, and I see this saying, a destiny to die for. And I preached a message called A Destiny to Die For. It became a landmark. We have some messages that we call landmark or a barn burner. You know, that's one of those ones that we keep, you know, that one, there's these and there's that. You know, we have some of those, and that was one of those. You see? See, whenever the devil does something to you or tries to stop you, it is actually a springboard into God doing something awesome that you wouldn't have done otherwise. You know, you'd think he'd learn. You'd think the enemy would learn. Because every time he tries something, if you understand how to pull on God's grace and his ability, you can just blast through the thing and do something great anyway. And then you can go, neener, neener, neener. Look what God has done. Look what Jesus has done. And that's really our life. God is trying to raise all of us up. You know, all hands on deck. It isn't just for special people or people who seem like they have it together. I never had it together. When I was young, I'm telling you, I did not have it together, and yet I knew in me there was something that God wanted me to do for him. I knew I had no ability to do it, but I'm telling you, it doesn't matter who you are today. God has a plan for you, and it's so much better. It's so much better than anything you've seen in this earth. So latch onto it today. Latch onto it. Exchange your garbage for his glory. Exchange these things in earth that you thought were important for the things of heaven. Make the exchange. All you have to do is ask him. Just say to him, I'm trading my junk for your glory. I'm trading my foolishness for your wisdom. I'm trading all the mistakes I made to let you be on the throne of my life. That's what you say. Something like that. Give him first place, and he'll cause you to be first, okay? Hallelujah. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.